before, and thank you for this opportunity. Justin, can I get you to turn this light down a little bit? Thanks. All right, so we're going to be in 2 Timothy 1, 6 through 9, and we're going to be speaking tonight about fear, right, in the believer's life. All right, in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6, it starts off, "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which has given us in Jesus Christ before the world began. Lord, I just want to thank you again, Lord, for this time and for being up here, Lord. Lord, I just ask for your words tonight, Lord. I just pray that you strike anything from memory that shouldn't be there, Lord. And I just ask that you have your hand on me tonight, Lord. Just guide and direct me, Lord. I just ask that you keep me out of this, Lord. And just say, just be you and only you, Lord. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen. The main verse I'm going to concentrate on is going to be 2 Timothy 1, 7. But we're going to start with 2 Timothy 1, 6. "Wherefore, I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee, by the putting on of my hands." We see here that, you know, in the beginning, to put into remembrance of the gifts of God that has stirred up in us. Each and every one of us has that spiritual gift. If you don't use that gift that God has given you, you'll lose it. All right? It's just like any tool. If you have a tool in your shed, it gets rusty if you don't use it. You got to take it out and maintain it. You know, we have all have a place in Christ, in the ministry. We all have been given these spiritual gifts. We just need to exercise them, get them out once in a while, and take them around for the block. We see this in the parable of the master and the servant, where the master gives his talents to the servant. One doesn't use his talents and buries it, right? He's called a wicked and slothful servant. Let me ask you this. What are you today? Are you using your talent that God gave you, right? And if not, why? In 2 Peter 3:1, "This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up in your pure minds by the way of remembrance." We need to remember these things. We need a reminder of this, sometimes on a daily basis. That is why it is so important to stay in the Word of God. Right? So husbands, next time your wives remind you of something to do that you missed, right, don't get mad at them. They're just reminding you of what the Bible says to bring in things of remembrance. Now, this is the verse I want to hit on tonight. Right? 2 Timothy 1:7. "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind." Let's think about that for a minute. Fear is one of the biggest reasons why we don't do anything for God. Right? The definition of fear, according to Strong's, fear, the verb, a painful emotion or passion excited by an expectation of evil or the apprehension of impending danger. Fear expresses less apprehension than dread, and dread less than terror or fright. The force of his passion, beginning in the most moderate degree, may be thus expected. Fear, dread, terror, fright. Fear is accompanied with the desire to avoid or ward off the expected evil. Fear is an uneasiness of mind upon the thought of the future evil likely to befall us. Fear is the passion of our nature which excites us to provide for our security on the approach of evil. All right? That's the definition of fear. How many times we have this fear within us, whether it be, you know, we'll take some of our singles of a certain age, right? The fear of being alone for the rest of your life. Some of you guys that got married older in life know this, right? We have that fear that I need to have a spouse in order to serve Christ. You don't, right? You need to just serve Christ. you, just like how Paul says, right, he wishes you were like him, and if not, then to Mary. You know, paraphrasing, of course. But, you know, the thing is, so many times we focus on our circumstances and what's happening around us, or the lack of what God is doing in our lives, when really what it's doing is we're having that inward turmoil, that inward struggle that's causing fear and causing us to step out before God and do his work, right? And do his work. Fear can be a crippler, right? This word fear appears 385 times in the Bible. The devil uses fear to try to cripple us, right, to keep us in our place. We see this in Job, how he accuses Job. All his tactics to try to get Job to cave, to be fearful. But Job keeps on going on. God has not put us in this world to be fearful of it, or the things in it. He has put us in this world to spread his word. But sadly, many won't. Out of fear, because they fear man. Oh, what's this person going to say to me? Or, oh, I can't go possibly talk to this person or that person. Or when I'm in the gas station, I can't possibly hand this person a tract. Why is that? Right? Because we're fearful. Right? We're fearful of the rejection that we're going to get from somebody instead of serving a holy God. Right? Deuteronomy 11, 18 through 25. Says, therefore shall you lay up these of my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. And ye shall teach them your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by thy way. When thou liest down, and when thou risest up, thou shalt write them upon the doorposts of thy house, and upon thy gates. That your days may be multiplied, and that your children... Excuse me, in the days of your children in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them. As the days of the heaven upon the earth, for ye shall diligently keep all thy commandments which I command you, to do them, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways and to cleave unto him. Then will I, the Lord, drive out all these nations from before ye, and ye shall possess greater nations and multitude than yourselves. Every place whereon the soles of your feet shall tread shall be yours. From the wilderness and Lebanon, from the river to the river Euphrates, even unto the uttermost sea shall your coast be. And here's what I want to look at in this passage. There shall no man be able to stand before you, for the Lord your God shall lay the fear of you and the dread of you upon all the land that ye shall tread upon, and as he hath said unto you. Think about that. If we do what God would have us to do, no man can stand before us, right? Because we have the power of God within us. Once when you've been saved and you have that Holy Spirit indwelling in you, there, it's all holds barred. Everything is on the map for you, right? Because you have the power of God in you, right? We also see in 1 Chronicles 28:20. And David said unto Solomon his son, be strong, be of good courage, and do it. Fear not, nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee. And he will not fail thee, nor forsake thee, until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. We can't go wrong serving God. We don't need to be afraid of people or circumstances. We need to do, but we need to do and have a good, healthy fear of God. We need to trust God in his commandments, right? 2 Chronicles 19:7 says, wherefore, now let the fear of the Lord be upon you. Take heed and do it, for there is no iniquity within the Lord our God, nor respect of persons, nor taking of gifts. In 19:9 it says, and he charged them, saying, thus shall ye do in the fear of the Lord faithfully and with a perfect heart. It all comes back to the same thing. If we're going to fear anything, we need to fear God. We need to fear God because we are not doing our job. We look at the condition this world is in today, right? We look at the condition this country is in, our state, right? And we have nobody to blame about ourselves, Because so many times as Christians, we have this neat little area that we're in, right? And we don't want to step out of our comfort zone. We need to start stepping out of our comfort zone to see souls get saved. If souls get saved, that's going to affect the people that run for office, all right? That's going to affect these people, all right, to bring Christ in from a biblical standpoint. It's time to get busy. It's past time to get busy on this. The Bible is full of cause and effect. God says, if you do this, then I will do this. Every time we get away from God, like Israel, and start going out on our own, it's time to start fearing God because we're doing things in our own will. The safest place you can be is next to a holy God. I've used this analogy before. Anybody that's ever had any kind of martial arts training, right? They tell you when you're in a fight to work in close to your opponent, all right? And the reason being is because they can't wind up and get a full hit on you. So it hurts a lot less. And it's kind of a weird way to look at it, but think about that. When you're away from God, the further and further you get away, all right, it hurts more when God's got to bring you back and get you adjusted how you should be. Where if you stepped out of the sign, you know, out of alignment with God, but you weren't too far away, all right, that correction isn't nearly as bad as when you're way over. So, you know, just think about that. Stay close to the Lord. Sometimes in our fear, we lose sight of the power God has given us. Where does this power over fear come from? We faint sometimes in trouble because of our fear. Our power, 2 Samuel 2, or excuse me, here, yeah, excuse me, 2 Samuel 22, 31 and 33. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all them that trust in him. For who is God, right, save the Lord? And who is a rock, save our God? God is my strength and my power, and he maketh my way perfect. Isaiah 40, 27, 31. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is not passed over from the God? Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, that creator in the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young man shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, and they shall mount up with wings as eagles, and they shall run and be not weary, and they shall not walk and shall not faint. So many times our fear comes because we're doing things in our own will, and we faint. Right? This waiting here that he's talking about, it's not a waiting as far as sitting down in a chair and just waiting. Okay, God, what are you going to drop in my lap? This waiting is an active waiting. This waiting is a waiting of serving God, right? We can't serve God if we faint and we have that fear, right? We need to come out from that. And Jesus speaking in Acts 1:8, it says, "But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." Our power comes from God. You can overcome fear by God. And we look at the part of love. Matthew 5, 43 and 44. "Ye have heard that it been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, and do good to them that hate you, and pray for them that which despitefully use you and persecute you." In Luke 6:35, "But love ye your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing, and your reward shall be great, and ye shall be children of the highest, for is kind unto and thankful unto you." Excuse me, kind and unthankful and to evil. So many times we have this fear because we don't have this love for people that we need. And we see that how this power that God gives us will cause us to love and eventually push this fear out. We are told by Jesus numerous times to love. For some, it may be difficult, but nevertheless, we are commanded to do so. It is easy to love people we know, right? We constantly need that push to push our boundaries. Step outside of our comfort zone. Go to people we don't know to share the gospel. I know sometimes I like to sit home, right, where I'm nice and comfy in my couch, all right? I'm in my comfort zone, right? How can I affect other people for Christ if I'm there and not outside of my comfort zone? I'm there because I'm afraid to go out and step outside of my comfort zone. Now, many of you know about my back injury, right? At the beginning stages of this, right, I saw nobody. It was hard because my job was my mission field. Every day I would pray that God would bring somebody across my path, and he was faithful. He did, right? When I couldn't see people on a regular basis, I became fearful. Right, I would never be used for God again. That I wouldn't walk or have extreme difficulty doing so. Then it came to me. That still quiet voice saying, "Hey, you got a Facebook account? Use it." Right. So I started posting verses. At the time, in my situation, it was the only thing I could do in order to try to reach people for Christ. Right. I couldn't get out of the house. This was my only avenue. I started posting verses, Spurgeon's devotionals and commentaries, right? I did lose some friends over this on Facebook, but the benefits far outweighed the loss. I got out of my comfort zone. I overcame that fear of speaking up for God, right, by just doing it. Since then, others have started doing the same. God will only know the benefit of this, but at least the word is getting out now. And we look at the final part in verse 7 here, where it says, of a sound mind. In Strong's concordance, this means discipline, self-control, sober-minded. Right? And we look at the qualifications of a bishop. We go to 1 Timothy 3:2. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach. For a bishop must be blameless as a steward of God, not self-willed nor soon angry, not given in wine nor striker, nor given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate, holding fast that faithful word as he had been taught, that he may be able to, by sound doctrine, both exhort and convince the gainsayers. How can we ever get to this position, right, if we're fearful of even stepping out for God? Right, and presenting the gospel in our local area. Right, this is a great example of discipline, right, and of a sound mind, right, to have that order. So many times we want to act out of fear, to give a sharp answer, or to stay, you know, within our comfort zone. When we really need to fear God, what if we don't do this? Right? What if I don't hand this tract to this person? What if I don't go to my neighbor and talk to my neighbor? These are the fears we need to have. Too many Christians see no problem with maintaining an ill will towards a brother or sister in Christ and let that fester inside of them and then partake of the Lord's Supper with no problem. They have no fear of God. We see believers that are happy maintaining the status quo and never look for opportunities to serve, right, for fear of rejection from family or from friends. The one we should be fearing is God, right, not our people around us. I will leave you with this final thought. For a long time, I was fearful of putting myself out there, letting my guard down, letting others get to know me. I mean, truly get to know me. Why? Because I was fearful of rejection. Most of us that don't serve Christ or don't take an active role as far as handing out tracts or going to witness to people, it's because we have that inward fear of rejection. All right? I ask you, why is that? We don't have that. We have a loving Savior that loves us. He died and went for the cross for us. Yet here, what do? All right? We reject him every time. You know, somebody maybe wants to get a conversation going. All right? Or we have that innate need in us. I need to go talk to this person now, and we brush it off, right? Rejection from the lost world, whether it be witnessing, rejection from church members for exercising my faith, the fearful of building any close relationships with people because all they'll do is leave in the end, right? Like everyone else did. Then God showed me this one verse in Proverbs 28:1. The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. I was fleeing from people out of my own fear, and I suspect many people do this. I would not build any close relationships out of fear. I would not spread the gospel out of fear. It took a long time for me to see the second half of this verse. The righteous are as bold as a lion. We are made righteous by God, right? We are made righteous by the blood of Christ, right? It took a long time for me to see this and to truly comprehend this. This is not for our benefit, but this is for God's. We should not have to have any fear about what man can say or do to us, or what our government can do to us, because God controls everything. How many of us can say that we are truly carrying out the Great Commission? Matthew 28:19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost. Who are we looking at serving today? God or this world? Now is the time to go, right? To get out of the pews, to get up, go to work, right? And start spreading the gospel. Go to the gas station, wherever you go, now is the time. The time is coming at hand, right? Where we need to start preaching the gospel of Christ on a regular basis. To go out and teach the people of this world about Jesus. It's the time to get over our fears, right? And just do. Lord, I just want to thank you for this time. And thank you for your words tonight, Lord. Lord, I just pray that you use me tonight, Lord, that you made everything clear, Lord. Lord, I just ask that you be with us, you guide and direct us on our ways this week, Lord. And above all, Lord, I just ask that you get us over these fears that we have, Lord, and just get us out and start preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ to people, Lord. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Amen, brother.
Thank you, sir.
That was a blessing. I appreciate the opportunity. Allison said, go on back upstairs. She said, I'll take care of the class. And so I appreciated that. But amen, brother. I tell you, it's altogether too easy to give in to that spirit of, well, I'm not good enough. Well, I'm not eloquent enough. Well, I don't know what I should say. Well, I don't know how to answer the question that they're going to bring up. And what if they ask me a question about something I don't know about? Well, so what if they do? It's an opportunity to go and find out. So what do you say in the meantime? God knows the answer. Let's go find out. So it's altogether too easy to give in to those fears. And I appreciate that encouragement tonight. And let's be dismissed, I suppose, tonight in a word of prayer. And if there's certainly there's time that we can talk and things like that. But let's close in a word of prayer tonight. Father, once again, we just appreciate your word tonight. Father, I appreciate the message tonight. Lord, highlighting the fact that altogether too often I am fearful. Whatever the excuse that I can come up with, Father, it's a poor excuse at best. Father, we have the very power of God. We have the very person of Jesus Christ. We have the Holy Spirit of God living within us. And yet, Father, we go and bury that gift in the sand way too often. What are we going to give back to you when you come and ask for that talent that you've given us? Father, I pray tonight that you would touch hearts, encourage and strengthen us. Help us, Lord, as we go our way tonight, to not go in the spirit of fear, but go boldly as you have commanded and asked for us to do. Father, it is not us that they hate. It is not us that they despise. it is the mirror of the word that people get upset at, seeing their own fallacies and frailties and failures from the word of God that people get upset with. We get upset with ourselves. Father, I'd ask tonight that you would give us that boldness to stand against those temptations, to give in to Satan and to cower in the corner. Father, strengthen and embolden us to proclaim your word and to take it to all of the ends of the earth, but Father, even all of the ends of this neighborhood, our own neighborhoods, our neighbors, this community. May your will be accomplished tonight. Guide and direct as we go home, Father. Keep us safe. Bring us back once again for Sunday for more refreshment and more feeding upon your word. And we ask it all tonight in the name of Jesus and in the power of God. In your name, the name of the Son of God, Jesus Christ, and the name of the Holy Spirit, Father, we ask it all. Amen. Amen.